Well, this Sunday, we are pleased to have Chuck Porta here visiting. Chuck Porta is a prophetic minister who has visited our church many times over the last 15 to 20 years. And he's going to share the word with us this morning. Without any further ado, Chuck, we'll invite you forward.
Do you want to have that music stand? Grab that stand.
Yep.
Morning. Literally, I saw the rainfall over Baldwin pretty much. But the Lord is, it's going to be a great time. I'm going to enjoy that barbecue at David's house. Yes. Well, glad to be here. Good to see everyone. Old friends, new friends. Oh, you want to record me? Okay. All right. Wow.
Well, he walks down the aisle sometimes, so I usually.
Well, I'll be good. I'll behave myself and stay behind her.
I don't know.
Yes. Somebody remind me to turn on my timer, and I should. I want to share a little bit about my brother, Tom, who's 5 years younger than I am. And the reason I want to share this is I'm soliciting prayer request, and he and I are close. I talk to him every day. We've been close, obviously, for a lot of years. The day my dad died, my mother had us kneel down in her bedroom. I was 15, Tom was at the time 11, and she basically said, "Lord, these children have lost their father, please watch over them." I'm not sure if my mother was even saved at that time, but she was certainly a God-fearer. Anyway, God honored that prayer. I entrust my children into your hands. Now, my brother and I, we tested that prayer about as much as it could possibly be tested. Should have been dead numerous times. And God just sovereignly intervened in a number of ways. Because God always hears the cry of a mother. Always. And he responds to that. So Tom and I now have been in ministry almost 80 years combined. And a lot of lives have been touched by the grace of God. Anyhow, he had a melanoma taken off maybe 3-4 years ago off his chest. He went in a year ago December for a heart thing, actually. And that was the occasion where then they almost stumbled on this thing under his armpit in the lymph system. So it came back. And so radiation, and then the type of melanoma he has is quite rare, 5% category. Doesn't respond well to chemo. So they put him on a thing called Keytruda. You maybe see that advertised on TV. And I'm always intrigued by those advertisements because after they talk about the medicine, then they list the side effects, and it's almost like the side effects are longer than the actual medicine. He got just about every side effect that came with that. But 6 months into the treatment, his PET scan was clear. He finished it last December. He finished his year deal or whatever of the treatment, and then, praise God, somebody help me here. You just kind of put this down and push the button, right?
Yeah, you're good.
There it goes. A couple months ago, his PET scan after treatment came back and he had K cancer on his liver. He did a biopsy. It's the kind of thing that said it's also in other areas. So we were pretty surprised by that. And you kind of get this, and then you find out how solid is the foundation of truth. And he has a son-in-law who will finish up his residency this year. He's a brilliant kid. He's been number one in everything, every class he's been involved in since medical school began. He's resident of the year twice. He's an outstanding young man. So obviously he's in the loop. So his cancer group, very respected cancer group, Minneapolis, were prescribing this kind of like a pill he was going to take. Another immuno kind of targeted, however they described it, Doc would know more than I would. 5% success is what they said. You know, they have their statistics, right? And then Mayo weighs in because this group in Minneapolis is in harmony with Mayo. And Mayo weighed in, looked at all the stuff, and they came back with basically a chemo cocktail about three things. And my son-in-law looked at that in consult with his doctor, and he said, you know, Dad, that's really nasty stuff. So we've been praying and seeking the Lord. And I told Tom this past week, I said, in every great trial, and we know this, any great trial you face as a Christian, you need one thing, and you need one thing only. You need a fresh word from heaven. What does God say? And that word from heaven will bring faith, hope, love. Because that's what the word of the Lord does. And so we just begin to pray, and then the Lord had me quickened to share with Tom, you know, I think you need to take a serious look at 2 Chronicles 20. And it's the story of Jehoshaphat. This is not my message, by the way. This is kind of free, okay? And it's a story about an impossible scenario. Jehoshaphat's about to face the worst kind of enemy, okay? They have no chance in the natural. And so he's afraid. So then he begins to pray. And then it's like he reminds God of God's faithfulness. Now, God doesn't need to be reminded. He's actually reminding himself is what he's doing, okay? And you said, Lord, when we get in trouble, we are to stand in this place of worship and cry out to you, which is the tabernacle of David. And that's why it's so important. And it culminates in this end of his prayer. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, speaking of the enemy, for we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. One translation says, fixed. We are living in a day where you don't want to be glancing occasionally at God. You want your eyes fixed on the Lord. Why? He's the only source of true help. He's the God of the supernatural. He's the God of grace. He's the God of victory. He's the God who rules and is sovereign over all. So it turns out my brother and sister-in-law, Now, Cindy's been here all along. She's a rock. She's a rock. You know, last November, we had to deal with one of their precious children dying by suicide. And the whole family is just rocked. They're worshiping Jesus more now than ever. They're loving Jesus more now than ever. It's precious. We're actually having a family reunion next Sunday, right after I preach in Tom's church, and my sister and my kids and all gathering and a few first cousins, and it's going to be an awesome time. Tom and I will both speak. And the Lord reminded my brother 10 years ago, he was in another situation, not physically, but economically, when the housing market collapsed and they foreclosed and he had to move out of his house. My mother's living with him. He's got 5 of 9 children still living with him, no income, and my eyes are on you. And the Lord gave him 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not going to give you the details of how within a short period of time God did an absolutely supernatural work of circumstantial coming together, and he's in the house that was provided during those times. So he's not going to take the pill, and we're not going the chemo route. Our eyes are fixed on you. Now, this is not foolish. We're deadly serious. This is a very aggressive type of melanoma, quite rare, but our eyes are fixed on you. And so join us. Join us in prayer. Just cry out to the Lord. I believe the body of Christ, there's going to be those intercessors in particular who know how to touch the hem of his garment. And when that happens, good things flow. His life comes. And so that's where we're at, and I'm inviting you to join us, if you will. And read 2 Chronicles 20. It's an inspiring story. Because what happens is, a prophet releases a word, says, you don't have to fight in this battle. I'm taking ownership of your battle. Stand and see the salvation of God. Praise God. It's not COVID. Relax. I want to talk today and share some thoughts on the great missing ingredient in the body of Christ, maybe for the last 40 years. And it's one of the great reasons why churches, whole movements for that matter, individuals struggle in their faith and don't fulfill all that could be fulfilled. Because it's been misunderstood, and because it's been misunderstood, it's been reinterpreted, trying to re-explain it. I would call, let's just soften the blow for a culturally weak setup. And I'm talking about the fear of God. The fear of God. It's wonderful. Say it with me right now. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's the fear of God, meaning it's part of God. It's part of who he is. It's an attribute of God, if you will. Just like the love of God, or the grace of God, or the mercy of God. Fear of God is almost leading the class. Go with me quickly to Acts 9, verse 31. This is a description, one verse that kind of summarizes this first church culture. It was awesome. They're surrounded by hostility. They're surrounded by persecution. Some of them will die. Some of them are being persecuted. It says in verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed peace. There's a lot of peace in this church. Surrounded by turmoil, filled with peace. Being built up. That word there is the same for edify. They encourage one another. They built up one another. They stood with one another. They locked arms, if you will. They edified one another. And going on, now that's making progress. That's what this is all about, this Christian life. Three wonderful things. Here it is now. And going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Those two, many have almost pitted against each other. They're not against each other. They're beautifully complementary, and they're absolutely essential for us to be filled with peace, continue to grow up, and to continue to move on. I'm good to hear about this neighborhood thing. That's going out. Hey, God's got all kinds of divine appointments set up for that kind of step of faith. Trust me. The Lord's just waiting for us to take those obedient steps, and he's going to have a lot of women at the well kind of encounters for you guys. And let's believe that they'll turn their hearts over to Jesus. The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another scripture. We'll get it on tape. Is this being taped? Yes. Romans 11:22. You don't have to turn there. Behold the kindness and the severity of God. This word behold is a vision word. It's like keep these two close to one another. Don't let them get separate. Keep them in your peripheral, okay? Here's how God's word is set up in many ways. If you only look at one part of God's word, you'll go in stream in that area, and you'll go out of balance, and you'll go into la-la land in very dangerous territory. You can do that with any truth. If that's all you do is lock in on comfort, where are you going to end up?
Uncomfortable.
You're going to end up in a thing called universalism, and God is love, and surely he's okay with all this sin that's happening, and you're going to get really loose, and then the body of Christ ends up in some really serious trouble. If that's all you look at is severity, oh boy, that's a harsh God. And that'll end up in legalism. And that'll end up in hardness, and that'll end up in a very rigid, well, I'm saved. I'm not sure about you guys, but I'm sure glad I'm saved. Don't go there. God's truth is set up where one balances the other from the extreme of the other and keeps them both in perfect balance, which is what God loves, so that you can stay on the path. So I believe there's been such a lack of the fear of God in so many areas and ways. And so I'm just being burdened. Remember, I think it was the last time I was here, or maybe the time before, I think I referenced when I was with Don Fultenauer a few days before he died and went to heaven. One of my spiritual papas, that's when he grabbed my hand. And he said, Chuck, shape up the troops for the coming battle. I've taken that commission from one of my papas very, very seriously. So I'm trying to shape you guys up. The battle's going to increase. It's going to get more severe in this country. The cultural wars will intensify. Just look at your weather patterns. You understand Pittsburgh right now broke all records for heat in its history. Look at the fires out west. Everything's escalating. Everything's going to another level. So, Christian, It's time to get shaped up. And so one of my passions right now is the fear of the Lord. Years ago, I didn't study on the fear of God. I went to every scripture, Old and New Testament, about the fear of the Lord. And I was absolutely amazed at what a blessing it is. What a fountainhead of joy it is. What a protection it is. And so I'm going to give you just a basic summary, okay? Quick. I'm so glad how we started out singing today. Holiness is the taproot virtue of God. If we were to get caught up right now with John, like he did in Revelation 4, what's the word being cried out day and night, 7:24, and will be for probably all eternity? What is it?
Holy.
Holy. Holy. Holy. Holy. I was listening to worship music driving over today, and my first song on my list is When I Look Into Your Holiness. Is that what it is? It was a very popular song back in the 80s. But then all of a sudden I realized, oh my, what would happen if I really took a look deep into the holiness of God? You want to be covered by His blood. So holiness is the taproot virtue of God. All of His virtues flow out of His holiness. So Revelation 4. All right, the fear of the Lord, here's my main thing on the fear of the Lord. We'll start with this now. The fear of the Lord is God's grace gift of a divine alarm system for your life. You are considered in the mind of God a house of God, a temple of God. To be a believer is to be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Fair enough? A lot of verses, we're not going to look at them. I want you to imagine if you were to build a brand new home, and you got this pristine piece of land, and you put an absolutely exquisite dream house on that property. And I mean, you spare no expense. Finest interior, finest exterior. Everything is perfect. If you're wise, you're going to put around the perimeter of that property what?
Fence.
An alarm system. Yeah, you could say fence, brother, I get it, but let's call it invisible fence so the neighbors can still come. But it's an alarm system that when the enemy tries to get in, because he's a thief, he's a robber, he's a liar, it goes off. It's an alarm system. Let me give you one scripture, and you can look at the story later on. Genesis 39. It's this young man who's got call of God in his life, got a spectacular vision, really. He's got all kinds of dreams he's getting as a young man that got him in trouble. His brothers tried to almost kill him, and he ends up in this place called Potiphar's house. What are we talking about?
Joseph.
Okay. Potiphar's house. Very prominent Egyptian. Wherever Joseph landed, his gifts always rose to the surface. So he would just kind of flourish. So Potiphar recognized the gifts of Joseph and put him in charge of his whole household. It's an amazing testimony of the grace of God at work in Joseph's life. Well, now Potiphar goes on a journey, and he's home alone with the wife, who's quite attractive. And she's got all kinds of problems. And Joseph's really handsome. And she tries literally to seduce him. Day after day after day. You know the story. At one point, what did she do? She literally grabbed him. And they had a momentary struggle, and he fled. But he left his coat. He fled from a trap. He fled from sin. That's the fear of God at work. It's the fear of God at work. You know the story. And as I'm pondering Genesis 39, all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow. And here's what I felt the Lord said. Because Joseph's going to end up ruling, not in Potiphar's house, but where? The whole country. The palace. Everybody reports to Joseph. The only one left is Pharaoh. Palace. And I felt like the Lord said this. Many, many of my children have never gotten out of Potiphar's house because of a lack of the fear of God and the trap God. And all along, I had a palace in mind for their life. The fear of the Lord will help you come into the fullness of what God has for your life. Always, this is part of the real prophetic burden. Now, I'm preaching to Chuck. You know, you just happen to be listening, and I'm serious about that. Many, many Christians are content with less than full. I'm going to heaven. That's good. I saw this 4-minute video by Francis Chan, and Rich Gow sent it to me, and it was him illustrating something to his church. You know the balance beam, gymnastics, the girls on that 4-inch wide board doing all this crazy stuff. And it's all going to then be evaluated, right, by the judge. And they get 8s, 9s, 10s, whatever. But what he did was he just wrapped his arms around the beam, straddled his legs around the beam, and just played safe. And he illustrated all the ways that Christianity plays it safe on the balance beam because they don't want to fall. And they go through their whole life clutching the balance beam, and at the very end, they let it go, untangle their legs, and hop off, and then ask for the judge, "How did I do?" That's why persecution is so needed for our lives. Because it gets us off the balance beam, clutching, and brings us to a whole level of looking to Him. Our eyes are fixed on you. That's what the fear of God will bring. I would say the fear of the Lord is rooted in His grace. It is something God grants, and it works in harmony with repentance, which is also a manifestation of the grace of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. You can look at that later. In Acts 5, that's a painful chapter. in the early church. It's kind of crunch time. You read the end of Acts 4, when the church prayed, the place where they were praying was shaken. That's a pretty effective prayer meeting. Everybody had everything together in common. Nobody was without. And it says, and grace was upon them all, and no one had a need. Say, that's a pretty serious local church. And the enemy got it. And he lied. He deceived. And so this couple kept back some of the money from the sale of the 40, brought it to the apostles. Peter, probably weeping the whole time, he's a broken man himself. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? They both dropped dead. Now that'd be a pretty impacting thing if it happened on a Sunday morning here in Baldwin, Wisconsin. You put that in your local newspaper, you're all welcome to come to our Sunday morning service. However, we can't guarantee you we'll leave alive. That could be a bit of a bummer. Encouraging visitors, right? And you would think this put a stop to the revival. Apostolic spirit-led discipline. It actually brought the revival to a whole nother level. You can read it for yourself. And great fear came upon the whole church. And it ends up where Peter's shadow begins to heal people. And it exploded into influence. It exploded because of the fear of the Lord. Here's what the fear of God is. In Psalm 46, it talks about this wonderful river. This river that makes glad the city of God. Who's the city of God? You are. Actually, Noah's got the joy of the Lord on her heart, at least. Whenever I see her, she seems to have the joy of the Lord on her. The city of God, which makes glad, there is a river. There's three streams to that river. I'm not going to get into it now. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Together they form this wonderful river that makes glad the city of God. But that river needs banks to keep it pure. That's the fear of God. The fear of God is the banks to the river that keeps the river flowing and keeps the river pure. Psalm 119, verse 120. The fear of God causes our flesh to tremble. Think about the gift now. Whenever you and I are about ready to take that trip into flesh land. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? Took a couple trips myself last week. Some interactions with my wife. I'll confess, Chuck was in flesh land. The fear of the Lord causes our flesh to tremble. To tremble. As soon as we contemplate going into the flesh, what a wonderful gift it would be for everything to begin to tremble. Whoops, maybe I shouldn't consider doing that. It's also this wonderful door. It only opens one way. Think of the fear of the Lord over the door, but it only opens one way. And as you come into it and as you embrace it, it brings you into the land of blessing. And it catches, if you were to try to turn and go back. That would be called backsliding. If you don't have the fear of the Lord in a very real way in my life, then that's why it's easy to regress and to go back. Lord, I want that fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will protect you from the snares of the enemy. Proverbs 14, verse 26. One of my favorite verses. The enemy, you know, just sets up, at times, snares. In 83, that's what it was. I went to, with Costa Deer to Europe. We went to France. We went to, I think I ended up in Germany and France, visited missionaries from New Testament Church that we had sent out the year before. And so now I've been gone away for a month from my family. I was blown away how much I missed them. My wife, my kids. And I'm in the airport now getting ready to get on the plane to fly home. Now those were the days of flying that were much more lax than today. Good grief, you could have family and friends right there before you get on the plane giving a last hug, right? You go right in with everybody, and I'm sitting there with my boarding pass, and for me to dock was a very beautiful woman who looked at me and smiled. And it wasn't a good smile. It was an invite smile. And the devil begins to lie, right? Been gone from your wife for a month, 35 years old. Something rose up in me quickly. And that alarm system kicked into gear and I began to speak in tongues. Really aggressively, I spoke in tongues. And I was fine. In addition, my wife has always encouraged me. She says, honey, don't worry about it. If God doesn't kill you, I will. The fear of the Lord rose up. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to look now. Everybody here in this room's got a boarding pass. She's the only one that doesn't have a boarding pass. She's going to stand up. Walk away. And I stood on purpose right at the doorway of the plane and looked back just to see kind of a confirmation thing, and sure enough, of all the people that were in that holding there, she was the only one, and she stood up and she just walked out. The fear of the Lord will protect you from the snares of the enemy. Here's what the fear of God, it will secure the atmosphere of our hearts where God is honored and your victory will explode. Of course, we know some of these familiar ones. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge and it's beginning of wisdom. And then this one I love, Psalm 86, verse 11. The fear of the Lord will unite our divided hearts into one. As I've tried to help God's people for almost 50 years, many times the root of struggle, heartache, is a divided heart. It's very difficult to live the full Christian life with a divided heart. I know in the natural your heart has four chambers, but for those four to really, for the heart to really function, all four need to be one on the same page, united. I know I had rhythm issues over the years and I understand how that dynamic works. Unite my heart, Lord, to fear thy name. Psalm 86, verse 11. Let me give you a couple others. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. Your descendants will inherit the earth for those who fear God. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Your descendants will inherit the earth. Those who fear God pass on blessing to their descendants. Psalm 128, 1 to 4, just you can read it later. Blessed, blessed, blessed are those who fear God. When I did that whole study, I was blown away. Wow, this is such a source of great blessing. Psalm 139, we all know, very familiar. We use it particularly when we lead the charge for abortion. It says, in the very womb you are made how? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me tell you exactly what I believe that means. You are built to carry fear, but only one. The enemy will try to put his fear, culture will try to put its fear, but there's only one fear that we're built to carry, and that's the fear of God. It's the fear of God, so that we walk in harmony with the holiness of God. I want you to turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 11. This is one of the most amazing prophecies in the Old Testament regarding Jesus, Isaiah chapter 11. And so we need to take a cue from him. You know what? Way to go, Chuck. I forgot to press the timer. Say, way to go, Chuck. Wow, you got 50 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that.
We love you, Chuck. We don't care.
Thank you. Isaiah, chapter 11. Verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Six things are listed there. Notice it highlights just one of them. Verse 3. And he, Jesus Christ, will delight in the fear of the Lord. He walked in it himself. It was something he delighted in. Why would Jesus delight in the fear of the Lord? Now, on the one side, he never sinned, right? But he could see the beauty, the blessing, what it would provide for all of his children. He delighted in the fear of the Lord. Jesus was filled with the fear of the Lord. It was part of his character. It was part of his nature. Now, the fear of the Lord many times will manifest with a zeal, with a passionate zeal that wants to see the house cleansed. That's what fueled when he cleansed the temple in Jerusalem. And he did it twice, beginning of his ministry and during Passion Week. That's the fear of the Lord at work. It produces within each of us a zeal. I think we want to come to a place where we love what God loves, we delight with what God delights in, but we also hate what God hates. That's not contradictory. That's just in harmony with the very nature and character of God. You know, in our softened church world, we try to water in many ways and soften. When I get to heaven someday, and I'm in closer to sunrise than sunset, how many can say amen? Boy, you know, as I walk around and live my life right now, it's a lot easier going down than it is getting up. How many kids? Lord Jesus, have mercy. I just had a senior moment. What was I just talking about? Praise God.
When you get to heaven.
Say again?
You said when you get to heaven.
When you get to heaven.
When I get to heaven. I'm not going to give account to you what I preached May 22nd, 2022. There's only one I'll give an account to. And what I want to hear from his heart is, Chuck, that was my word for that day. Yes. I want to add in perfect balance to grace, love, mercy, patience. I want to add my fear to my people. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. I was in Wadena, getting ready to preach on a Sunday morning in a hotel in Staples. And right before the service that Sunday morning, God spoke to me so clear. You are in the last days. I said, well, Lord, I understand that. I mean, Acts 2, Peter said, this is the last days. You know, you have to understand the difference between general last days and the last days right before Jesus comes. Hear me, church. That's where we're at right now. And Paul prophesied what would happen in that atmosphere. And one of the things that happens in the church is a departure from solid, clear, foundational truth. Departure from, into what, Lord? Into this hopeless mess, filled with compromise, filled with. So you have things like the leader of Hillsong has to resign because of hidden sin. That's just one small example. In Luke 17, and I'll close with this. In Luke 17, Jesus said, here's what the last days are going to be like. It's going to be just like it was in the days of
Noah.
Noah. It will also be just like it was in the days of
Lot.
And I was reading that chapter one time, and I said, Lord, why both are mentioned, and then all to put a capstone on the last days comes this very simple, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Why would he say that? You know what my wife did? She's more of a teacher than I am. She did an extensive research on Lot's wife. Where'd she come from? She brought a message at a family camp in northern Minnesota years ago. I'll tell you what, you could have heard a pin drop. You know what came into the room? The fear of the Lord. Why? Because we were remembering Lot's wife. She was an unbeliever. Lot was unequally yoked and open up a door of all kinds of compromise. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Why, Lord? Both. Because it's two pathways, two lifestyles, two examples of what it means to be now. Hey, Lot, as I speak, Lot is in heaven. 2 Peter 2 is very clear. Positionally, God reckoned him as being righteous.
That's why God had to get him out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he could judge it. The angels were extending kindness. That's covenant. They were extending kindness, but his life was a mess, as pictured by the story. And then there's Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. Wow. The days were so filled with anti-God attitude and culture that God said, it's over. And God's justice kicked in, and he begins to release a word, I'm going to judge the whole earth. There's only one guy that received the word. Everybody else blew it off. But Noah, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, because he revered, that's a word for fear, he feared the Lord. He said, I think God's serious here. He then found, this is why what the fear of God does for your life and my life, it helps you find something. He found in the face of God grace. And he, through grace and faith and the fear of the Lord, he's in that line of righteousness, just like Abraham, all the way to the new covenant. So he began to prepare an ark. It's a crazy story. Come on. You understand the ridicule he put up with for 120 years? He looked the absolute fool. Never rained before. Earth was watered by a mist. It's going to rain. Really? Hello, Noah. What is rain? I don't know, but it's going to rain. And as a result, I'm building this boat. Really? That's a pretty big boat, Noah. You sure you got enough room? Well, it's not just for me and my wife and children. It's for two of every kind. Seems kind of silly, Noah. You look foolish. How long did it take to build that boat?
Hey, you might want to go down to Tennessee. You can see it right now. Yeah. It's built to the exact replica. Even guys that are very veteran, savvy, a Navy sailor type guys, that's perfect dimensions. That's a perfect dimension boat to weather some serious storms. You know where that real boat is, by the way, right now? It's up on Mount Ararat, encased in ice. And one of these days, I believe, one of the great love manifestations of my Heavenly Father is he's going to let mankind see the ark, as it was in the days of Noah. There's a lot to that. So, the fear of the Lord, I want you to just pray with me right now, because how do you get it? Well, you can be taught it, Psalm 34. You can read Psalm 34, write that down. But what I want you to begin to do is, Lord, I want you to baptize me afresh with the fear of God. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to embrace it. I want it full in my life, operational. Lord. Help us all right now. In Jesus' name. Would you begin to fill us fresh with the fear of the Lord? We take it as your wonderful attribute, just like love, faith, hope, mercy. Fill us in perfect dimension. From rather than running to, or we lift up our it Isaac Dennis?
Yes.
I don't know anything was going on there, and I don't need to know anything, but I felt like the Lord said, he's going to be a trophy of grace. He's going to be a trophy of grace, and people will be stunned as the water is changed in the wine by the grace of God. You know, we can do a thing for so long, but in a moment, it can suddenly change by the grace of God. David, come on up here and do what pastors do, I guess. I'm getting hungry. Tell this guy to stop yapping. Thank you for listening.
The fear of the Lord. Solomon said it's the beginning of wisdom. Jacob knew of his heavenly father as the fear of his father Isaac. Little wonder about why Isaac feared the Lord. But you know, it's such an important element of our relationship with God. You understand how immensely powerful he is when you grasp the significance of the judgment that was poured out at Sodom in the days of Lot, and also the judgment on all the earth in the days of Noah. Inspires us with the fear of the Lord. It changes our ways. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are good, that you are awesome, that you are worthy of our glory, but also of our fear. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be instilling within us just this holy, righteous fear. We pray, Father, that you would help us to embrace that, not as a bad or evil thing, but as a right, proper relationship with our Creator. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use that to transform us, renew us, and restore us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we'd like to bless Chuck. We have the offering box in the back. If you feel led by the Spirit to give to his ministry, we will relay that on to him. And we'll have our church potluck and barbecue at the George House after the service, as soon as we can all congregate there, get the grill fired up. May the Holy Spirit lead you in the fear of the Lord this week. Amen.